It's all here. The surf, the smiles, the sand, the much-needed we time, maybe even some me time. 11 waterfront towns to explore, delicious seafood to devour, and that sweet, sweet sunshine. Everything you've been waiting for, everything you've been missing, is at North Carolina's uncrowded coast. Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking now.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you, America. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Well, we have a lot happening today. Man, was it a crazy weekend or what? All sorts of crazy news stories happening. Of course, the big one and the one that we shall start off with today, happening in California. Folks, this is no surprise. We saw this unfold over the past, 2 weeks now, beginning week two. The votes are still being counted in California, and it may take them a couple of more weeks to count all of the ballots. But it really doesn't matter, because now the Democrats have gathered enough ballots to push Spencer Pratt out of the mayor's race in Los Angeles. And it's only going to get worse. I'm a little concerned over Steve Hilton, because those numbers are getting a little tight. Javier Becerra now taking the lead, and Tom Steyer, the billionaire, is gaining ground. He's in third place, and Steve Hilton now in second place. Now, Spencer Pratt, this is what's really mind-boggling about Spencer Pratt. So what, you've got about 2.2 million registered voters in Los Angeles, maybe about 700,000, if you're lucky. Maybe 700,000 or 800,000 would vote on Election Day. They still haven't counted all of those votes. But here's what you need to know. So Spencer Pratt has been far ahead of the third place finisher in the race. She's a city councilwoman. Her name is Neetha Robin. And look, her defeat on election night was so bad. It was so bad that she got up in front of God and Country and just wept, talking about how she was so distraught over losing. Well, now she has surged. She's in second place, and she very well may surpass Karen Bass, who is the incumbent mayor. So here's what you need to know. This is all statistically impossible. If you're looking at the numbers and the statistics, this is absolutely impossible, which is why we know it's a steal. That's what the Democrats are doing. It is an outright steal. As a matter of fact, the California Post had the following headline in all caps: Electile Dysfunction. That's what it is. So I want you to understand, since Tuesday, Neetha Raman has had a net swing of more than 43,000 votes, it's just impossible. Now, look at this. These are the numbers of mail-in ballots arriving before Election Day. Karen Bass got 38% of those votes. Spencer Pratt got 27%, and Raman got 20%. Now, the mail-ins after Election Day, Raman got 37%, Bass got 34%, and Pratt just 19%. Are you following what's happening here, folks? This is a flat-out steal. That's what's going on here. By the way, just to show you how absurd all of this is, Neetha Raman did not even win her own council district. That's how bad this is. So look, there's really no other way to say this, that the Democrats, and what makes me upset about all of this is not that the Democrats are trying to steal the election, which is, we expected them to do that. They're not even trying to cover up what they're doing. I mean, they're not even being clever about it. Now, this all goes back to something that Gavin Newsom said. You might remember this. What is that, about a month or so ago, when Steve Hilton was surging in the polls and you had Chad Bianco, the Republican sheriff from Riverside County, California, he was surging in the polls. And there was a lot of concern at the time that the top two vote getters in the gubernatorial race would in fact be Republicans. And of course, in California, the top two vote getters, regardless of party, advanced to the general election. And what was it that Newsom said? Newsom stepped back and he had this little devious grin on his face and he said, no. He says, not going to happen. But if it does, we have that break the glass moment. We have a plan. We have a break the glass moment plan. That's what Gavin Newsom said. Now you have to be asking, what exactly was the plan? What was the plan? Now, we know the Justice Department is investigating all of this. And honestly, I'm not sure there's anything they're going to be able to do. We knew this was going to happen. Look, a big part of this could have been resolved had the Senate stepped in and just passed the Save America Act. At least that way we would have known exactly who was voting in these. But right now we don't know. We don't know who's right, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because there's not much we can do about it right now. I want you to, just to put this into context, the nation of India, fine people, not a big fan of curry, but the good people of India, 640 million citizens. It takes them one day to count every single election ballot in the entire nation. One day. California has nearly 40 million citizens, and it looks like it's going to be taking a month. So look, the president was asked about this over the weekend, and a lot of these stories are sort of interwoven, all right? And they're sort of, and one of them has to do with NBC News and the butt stomping that President Trump gave not only NBC News hostette Kristen Welker, but also her microphone. And he was doing a sit down. We're going to get to that story in just a little while, but he was asked about, and what led up to all of this was the California elections. Take a listen to cut one.
What they did to the lives of people, they destroyed people. They sent people to jail who did nothing wrong.
Right, just to be very clear, there's no evidence of what you're saying. But
there's
let me
a
ask
lot
you
of
about
evidence.
Todd Blanche. May I
listen,
ask you about Todd
to me,
Blanche?
Listen to me.
Let's talk
there's
about
tremendous
Todd
evidence. There's nothing
well,
but
not
evidence.
Been
the election
in a
was
court
rigged.
Of law.
It was a dirty election.
Mr.
And
President,
it's happening again right now in
never
California.
Never presented
it's
evidence.
It's happening
that the
right now in California.
Was
right now, it's look at what's
Where's
happening
the
in California.
To that?
It's
the Republicans
4 days.
Are doing well
in
California.
California, it's no, they're not. They're dropping fast because it's a rigged election. Let me tell you, it's 4 days, and they aren't even close
that's
to coming
how they,
up
that's
with.
That's how they
you know
the
why
votes
they're doing that? Because they're cheating on the election.
There's what? Do you have evidence it's, to support
all
that?
All I have to do is look. All
but,
I have to do is
that's
look.
That's not evidence.
And I listen. And I listen to people. But, and let's see what happens.
But sir, that's not evidence.
Do you think it's appropriate?
That's how they that count the votes.
Do you
California?
Think it's appropriate that they have an election? And 5 days later, they're nowhere close to picking
State
a winner.
State local officials acknowledge they are slow. They're urging.
No, they're crooked.
They're urging the votes to be counted quickly. That's how they
they're
vote in
crooked,
California.
Just like you're crooked. Your press is crooked. And Meet the Press is crooked.
To be fair, I'm not crooked. But let's
really?
Let's
well,
continue.
You play right into their hands.
Let's continue.
You're either crooked or you're stupid.
Let's
you
continue.
Play right into their hands with this rep. You know that these elections are rigged. Your network knows that they're rigged. You know that I won an election in a landslide, and I got 94% bad press.
But, Mr. President,
you know why
you've
I got
never
that?
Presented
because you have no
evidence.
Credibility.
But you've never presented evidence that it was rigged. Let's keep talking about I want to talk about Todd
You
Lynch.
Have more evidence. There's more evidence than ever presented.
Let's talk
Your
about
Your elections
you
in this country.
Court.
We're like a third world country.
But, sir,
Your elections are crooked, and you're crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked.
But, Mr. President,
and so is ABC and CBS and CNN.
But, Mr. President,
Your one-sided crooked networks. All right, let's call it quits because I've had enough. Thank you, darling. Have a good
Mr.
time.
Mr. President, let's please. I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
I've sat
I traveled
in the rain
all.
With you.
I know.
I've
I traveled
sat in the rain
all the way
with you
to
for an
Wisconsin.
Hour, on and off in the rain, and I've given you enough time. You ought to straighten out your press because you know what?
Mr. President,
a country can never be great with a dishonest
all, listen,
press.
Listen, we traveled all the way to Wisconsin for this interview.
She should have been nicer. What are you going to do? Really? You're going to treat the president of the United States like that? Do you understand? Do you understand? This is why people hate the media. They really do. They are just loathsome people. And by the way, for all you see, for Kristen Welker, I came all the way out here. I had to fly to Wisconsin. I'm even lactose intolerant, Mr. President. I have to be surrounded by all this cheese and these dairy cows. That's who she is. That's who Kristen Welker is. What do you want me to look, God love the president. He's got a lot more patience than I have. By the way, if you heard that noise, first of all, it was pouring down rain. They were in a barn with like a metal roof, which is that was the rain coming. I had to come here in the rain, my hair. And so the president he's a patient man when it comes to the media, but there is a line you don't cross with Donald Trump, and she crossed that line. That's what she did. And she got what was coming to her. But again, going back to the thesis here, which is Donald Trump talking about the fraud in California, and he is absolutely right. Now, if NBC News doesn't want to cover the story, that's on them. By the way, did you love how Trump? Thank you, darling. Thank you, darling. He's a very kind man when it comes to the women. So anyway, you've got California out there, and it turns out the Justice Department and the U.S. Attorney of Central California, and we're going to play some audio in just a little while, but I want to get through this. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, here's what they've discovered. They've got multiple investigations going on right now. They have already discovered, and by the way, this is irrefutable. It is literally on the California Election Commission website. Let's just say that you're an illegal alien. We'll call you Dylan Sanchez.
That's a good one. Thank you.
Buenos dias. Yes. So anyway, you came here illegally, but you want to vote, right? So you can't register to vote because you're an illegal, but you're a fitness buff, right? So you want to look good, even though you're an illegal alien. You got to be physically fit so you can try to outrun ICE. And so you've got a membership to, what are you, Crunch Fitness or Planet Fitness, one of the two?
I'll go with Crunch.
Yeah. Crunch. All right. So you're at Crunch, and they give you, when you sign up, they give you a membership card, right? It's very nice.
Yeah.
So you can actually, in California, you can take your Crunch membership card, and you can take it down, or maybe even your Kroger card, if you got a Kroger card, and you can take it down and register to vote using your gym membership.
Oh, wow. That's a lot faster than getting citizenship, Todd.
Right? Who needs a driver's license?
Who needs it?
Who needs a passport?
I got a Crunch membership.
Social Security, forget it. I got a Kroger card. Not only that. And again, this is first-time voters. So if you show up first time to vote and you don't have a Social Security number, you don't have a driver's license, they're going to ask you, got a gym membership card? Got a Kroger card? What about a debit card? Got a debit card? You'll be able to vote. And that means a lot of illegal aliens are actually voting. And that's what the Justice Department is going after here, is tons of just fraud. Now, what's brilliant here about Trump? I have a theory about this. I think Trump knew exactly what was going to happen, and he's letting all of this play out so the entire nation can see what a stolen election looks like. Everybody knew what the numbers were on the night of the election, and now here we are, heading into a solid week, almost tomorrow, 7 days, 7 days. They still haven't counted all of the votes. And Trump is setting up the state of California. Now, here's where it gets very interesting. There's really nothing we can do right now, but there is something Congress can do. There are two things, actually. Did a little bit of research on this over the weekend and wanted to check into what exactly the House was able to do. Are you ready for this, ladies and gentlemen? Here's how we can push back. If we maintain control of the House of Representatives, the Speaker of the House can refuse to seat any member of California's congressional delegation. It's Article 1, Section 5, Clause 1. All right? The Constitution states that the House of Representatives is actually the ultimate judge of the election of its members. And also, and this is where it's important, the final arbiter of all congressional contests. So look, if there are allegations of rife fraud, if there was anything untoward happening in an election that might have altered the outcome, then Congress has the right to step in and say, we're not going to seat those congressional members. Now, there are some Democrats right now that are soiling themselves. How dare you? Who do you think you are? You're a tyrant. You're just throwing the Constitution out the window, Starnes. Who do you think you are? Ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats pulled this lever back in 2018. Back in 2018, there were allegations of fraud in the Republican primary and the Republican election in North Carolina involving Congressman Mark Harris. And there were investigations regarding election fraud, and Steny Hoyer stepped in and said that they would not allow Harris to be sworn in. This was in 2018. So you have a very recent president. You don't have to go back to the Civil War. You don't have to go back to any other time. So the House of Representatives could step in and say, you know what? Yeah, we're not seating anybody. You could take all, 50-plus members of the California congressional delegation, and they could be unseated. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we need to do. There's more to this story. There are other things that Congress can do. The question is, will Congress do it? And I think that's where you are going to have to reach out to your lawmakers and say, we need an intervention here. Do not seat the California congressional delegation. All right, we're going to let you weigh in on this, ladies and gentlemen. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. A lot of ground to cover today, folks. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey, guys, quick heads up. This is actually a big one. We're saying goodbye to something that's helped thousands of families over the years. The Patriot Power Generator, one of the best-selling solar generators of 2025, is officially being retired. And the reason? They've just released something even better. It's called the Patriot Power Generator 2200X, and this is their most powerful model yet. It's built for real-life situations, storms, outages, emergencies, when you need power the most. To launch it, they're doing something pretty crazy right now. You can get $500 off the generator, plus they're including two free solar panels, so you can double your charging power right out of the box. They're also throwing in a heavy-duty roll-in go-kart, an extended 3-year warranty, and if you're a senior or a veteran, you can save an additional $200. And here's the part that really stands out. Because they offer a payment plan, you can get started today for just $299, and it ships as soon as tomorrow. But this is a limited launch offer. It's first come, first served, and these kinds of deals don't stick around, especially with how unpredictable power outages have been lately. So if you've ever thought about having backup power for your home, now's the time to do it. Stay safe, stay prepared, and don't wait until the lights go out. Go to StarnesPrepper.com right now to take advantage of this limited time offer.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us. By the way, huge, huge race for governor and Senate in South Carolina. Congressman Ralph Norman is going to be joining us in a little while. Also, we've got Mark Lynch, who is gaining ground right now against Lindsey Graham, primarying the sitting U.S. Senator from South Carolina. So we'll be talking to Mark Lynch coming up a little bit later. Also, Mary Walter is going to drop by with that insane story about HelloFresh. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926, German Shepherd in North Carolina. Hi, German Shepherd. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I think you're asking the wrong question out there in California. I think we need to ask the question why the election board is taking so long filling out the ballots. The illegal aliens apparently know how to fill them out. To remain in power.
Well, the reason why it's taking so long is they're waiting to see how many votes they need to beat the Republicans. That's the problem. Look, the other part of this is the ballot harvesting. And so if there are ballots out there that were not filled out, that were left empty, then they're going in and filling out that information. Those are the allegations that are out there, German Shepherd.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, the election board themselves are the ones filling out the ballots, and they're just taking too long to do it. That's what's dragging it out. I mean, the American people know how to do it.
Of course they do. Oh, look, of course they do. And again, there's absolutely no reason in the world, none whatsoever, why they can't count those votes in one day. And look, all right, fine. California, set them aside. Los Angeles, you're talking about 600,000 voters. You're telling me you still haven't counted those votes. I'm not buying it. What about you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Most people don't realize how much of their personal information is bought and sold daily. Data brokers make billions pulling your details from public records, then selling it without your consent, landing it with scammers and stalkers. It's why you get endless robocalls and hyper-targeted ads. That's where Aura comes in. Aura actively removes your data from broker sites and keeps it off, instantly alerting you if your information appears in a breach or on the dark web. Aura goes beyond data protection. With one app, you get a VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam protection, and up to $5 million in identity theft insurance, all backed by 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Competitors charge the same price for just one of these services. Aura gives you all of it together. Start your free trial at aura.com/safe. Protect yourself now at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's Radio Show. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, this segment of the Todd Stern Show brought to you by our friends at Calitrin. They are my weight loss partners. You know, the cardiologist says, Stern, you got to chuck it now. You got to slim down. You got to get to your girlish figure. So I'm working at it, and it's coming on along. I'm pretty excited about that journey. And I would not be able to do it without my friends over at Calitrin. By the way, they've got their great summer sale underway right now. This is their biggest sale of the year. Calitrin really wants to help you, and they have helped me. And I'm not going to, folks, I try all the products. If they work, great. If they don't, well, they don't advertise with us. Calitrin, it works, and it's working for me. And what I love about it is I take it right before I go to bed and don't have to worry about it. It's really that simple. They've got an incredible sale going on, and I just want you to try it. If you're looking to slim down, maybe it's 10 pounds, 20 pounds, maybe you got to do 30, 40, or 50 like me, then I want you to give them a shot because they're going to be able to help you out. Calitrin, buy three, get three free. It's like, I don't know, paying half price. So you can order two different ways. Get information, toploss.com. That's TOPLOSS.com. Or give them a call, 800-325-4366. That's 800-325-4366. All right, let's go to the phone lines here from New Orleans, the lovely Miss Janice. Hi, Miss Janice. What's on your mind today?
Yes, I couldn't resist calling today because I was in utter shock yesterday when I saw what Trump did.
What did he do?
You don't know what he did yesterday?
No, that's why I was asking. What did he do?
My goodness, I can't believe you didn't hear about it.
Are we talking about here? Go ahead. I mean, the president did a lot of things yesterday, Ms. Janice. So I'm trying to. Can you just narrow it down to what's the one thing that's got you riled up?
He was a guest on Meet the Press program, and the host is I think her name is Kristen Welker, and he insulted her. He was brutally insulting. He has no respect whatsoever for women. He told her she was either crooked, stupid. He's telling her, and he walked out of the program. She was merely, you know, she asked him questions, and he spoke, and then she spoke, and he was just being rude and disrespectful. And I have no respect for him. In all my life, we've had many presidents, many, many. But I have never experienced a president ever do anything like that to anyone. And I urge all the listeners, everyone within the sound of my voice, I urge you to go to YouTube and type in, you know, Donald Trump.
Well, there's no need to do that, Miss Janice, because we've already played it once in the first half hour of the program, and I'm going to play it again because again, when I heard it, and I did watch it as well, but when I heard the interview, I didn't think anything of it. Let's go back and listen and see if the allegations you are making hold true. Let's take a listen. Cut one.
What they did to the lives of people, they destroyed people. They sent people to jail who did nothing wrong.
Right, just to be very clear, there's no evidence of what you're saying. But
there's
Todd Blanche.
Listen to me.
Let's talk
there's
about
tremendous
Todd
evidence. There's nothing
it's
but
not
evidence.
Been
the election
in a
was
court
rigged.
Of law.
It was a dirty election.
Mr.
And it's
President,
happening again right now
you've
in
never
California.
Never presented
it's
evidence.
It's happening
the
right
okay,
now in California.
Okay, stop. We're done. We're done. Miss Janice. She asked the president a question. He tried to answer it, and she interrupted him. I counted four different times in just that, 40-second clip there.
But he had no right to call us. You're either crooked or you're stupid. And he's insulting the networks, too. He's calling out ABC and CBS, CNN, and he's calling the woman crooked and stupid. And I am sorry. That man is a disgrace to our country.
Well, wait a second. I mean, it seems to me because at the very end, I mean, he said he was very polite at the end as he stepped on the microphone and broke it and walked off. He called her darling.
Oh, yes. But after he called her crooked and stupid, you're either crooked or stupid.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
Huh?
Don't you think it's a good choice? He's asking, are you crooked? Are you? So again, hold on, Miss Janice, hold on a second here. President Trump is laying out the evidence, and she is not wanting to hear what the president says. Instead, she is screaming at the president, and he is trying to find out what's going on here. Are you crooked? Are you just not wanting to hear this? Or are you stupid and you don't understand what I'm telling you?
He had no right to speak to her that way. I'm not.
Why not? She was talking to him like that. She had no right to talk to the president.
She was not insulting him. She was merely asking him questions, and I am not in Trump's cult. Have a nice day, Todd.
All right. You too, Miss Janice. Check that blood pressure. Dylan, did she insinuate that we're in the Trump cult?
Maybe.
You gotta make sure, folks. You gotta make sure that the grandparents are not watching PMS Now or CNN. Gotta be careful. That's not good. But folks, I did not see this as Trump being rude. I saw this as Trump being frustrated by an evil woman from NBC News who had an agenda. That's what was going on here. That was an agenda. She was forcing her viewpoints, and the president was simply pointing out, hey, look, this is what the evidence is. These are the investigations that are underway. By the way, there's one investigation in California, Nick Shirley, that little citizen journalist, and he's out there. He interviewed a woman, 125 years old, 126 years old. She's been voting in elections, dozens of elections. So they knocked on the woman's front door, very clear that she was not 126 years old. And then it turns out that she had not even been voting. A lot going on there, ladies. I'm just telling you, there is a lot going on. So, look, here is the U.S. Attorney for Central California, a guy by the name of Bill Essley, and here's what he had to say. Cut number three, please.
Bill Essley. Bill, welcome back to The Story Is.
Alex, how are you?
Good. So are you investigating voter fraud?
Well, I'm not going to comment on any specific investigation. What I will tell you is that we do monitor and we do look for fraud in every election. This is no exception. Any election that has a federal candidate on it, we do monitor and we look for fraud. And there's no question there is fraud in every election. The question is how much fraud. We know that California, there's been many people prosecuted for illegally registering a vote or not being qualified to vote. And the response is always, it's not widespread. And the problem with California, to be frank, our system sucks. It really does. We have universal vote by mail. We have no voter ID. And that is a recipe for fraud. And it makes it almost impossible to know how many people are eligible to vote in California. We've tried hard to audit the voter rolls. We have sued the state of California. The federal government's entitled to review those voter rolls, and they have stonewalled us. That case is before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals as we speak. And so we'd like to audit it. We want people to have confidence in these elections.
But let's be clear. The president of the United States said that there's cheating going on in California. Do you have any evidence that there is cheating going on in California? Certainly cheating big enough to turn the outcome of one of these elections.
Well, those are two very different questions. Absolutely, yeah. There is evidence that people are cheating. 100%. We have multiple investigations into people who voted who should not have voted.
Are there any people in particular? Are you bringing any?
There will be charges. I'm not prepared to announce them yet, but we do have open investigations into voter fraud. There's no question that there's voter fraud in California. We just prosecuted and announced charges against one individual about a month ago who was registering homeless people to vote in downtown L.A. She was paying them to register at false addresses to vote. So there's no question there's voter fraud. The question that you said is very important. Is it widespread? Will it affect an outcome of election? We don't know. The system is not designed to detect or prevent fraud. The system sucks. And the president is frustrated, as are we. I was very outspoken about this in the legislature, yeah. And the legislature doesn't seem to care. So, but I think voters will have a chance to potentially change this system in November. But that's up to them.
Okay, and just one more time. When he says that there is cheating and that there's an active investigation into that cheating by your office, can you confirm that?
I'm not going to discuss any specific investigation. I will tell you that we do have, in general, we do have investigations, and we are looking to charge people relatively soon for election fraud.
Well, good. And as well they should. But again, let's go back to California just one quick second here. Congress has an opportunity to step in here and take action. And the way they can do it is by refusing to seat the congressional delegation from California. All of them. All of them. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. Well, if you haven't noticed, it's Pride Month across America. And ladies and gentlemen, there's some pretty weird and freaky stuff going down. There was in Washington State a library, a little public library. Dylan, when was the last time you went to the public library? Let me rephrase that. Dylan, have you ever gone to a public library?
No, I don't think I've ever been to a library.
So if you were to go to a library, you would walk in, and what would you expect to find at the library?
Probably books, maybe a few like old desktop computers.
Some books, you know, the Dewey Decimal. We're old school. The Dewey Decimal system, where you pull out the shelves.
Oh yeah,
and it's got the cards. I think it's all like automated now.
I think they have Kindles for sale now in libraries, which is like the killer.
They would have these sweet grandmotherly type women with their hair and buns.
Yeah,
and they would be shh.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's not what public libraries are like anymore.
Oh,
they're now basically drag clubs.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they're basically, public libraries are now gay nightclubs. In Washington State, the public libraries there hosted a drag show. And may I just say something here? And I don't mean to be offensive, Dylan, but I'm probably going to be. First of all, if you're an adult, what do I care what you do? You live your life. You do you. Just don't expect me to approve it or go out there and march and affirm what you do in the privacy of your own life. That's between you and God. Okay? That being said, on the drag queen stuff, why is it that it's always the butt ugly drag queens that want to prance about in front of the children? Have you noticed that? It's just, I mean, there are some drag queens, and you're like, well, okay, you know, they kind of clean up pretty good. But then there are others that are just ginormous. And you can just tell that the Spanx is like, the pressure is just like going up into outer space. And then you've got the poor, you can hear the creaking and the cracking in the stiletto heels. Anyway, in Washington State over the weekend, they had a bunch of drag queens, and they're doing a show, a drag show, at the library for children. And so the children are all seated there, and they have their little dollar bills. And the drag queens, they're spreading their legs for the children of America. And my question is, why? I just want to know why. Forget about the whole, you know, you were born that way or you, whatever. All right, just set all of that aside. I want someone from that community to explain to me why you feel the need to spread your legs and let children put dollar bills in your crotch. Why is that okay? And by the way, are we supposed to be proud of that? Are the drag queens, are they proud of the fact? And you know who should be really upset about all of this? The people who actually own these gay bars that do the drag shows. Seems to me that the taxpayer-funded libraries are cutting into their profit. Then there was a parade. Now, Dylan, you know that there are parades. And for whatever reason, this is, you know, like, for example, here in the South, it gets hot in the summertime. So a lot of the old school Southerners, they wear the suits. What are the suits called? Somebody's going to, not the kudzu suits, the seersucker suits. How did I forget that? So you wear a seersucker, right? Because it keeps you cool, right? So it's a, and then what is it? You wear certain, you're not supposed to wear white clothes after a certain period of time. I forget, whatever. Somebody will let us know all the rules. The rules and regulations governing fashion. All that to say, this is buttless leather chaps season in America. But Dylan, as gross as that is, and as disgusting as that is, and if you're going to do that, could you at least shave? But beyond that, may I just say, I saw one of the most disgusting things on social media. Someone was wearing the buttless leather chaps with a diaper on.
Oh, how does that even work?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But they're proud of it. They're proud of it.
Yeah, I don't even want to like even try to imagine what that would look like. So, then I'm sorry you had to see that.
Have you heard about HelloFresh?
Yes, I have, unfortunately.
So HelloFresh, we've got the story up at ToddStearns.com. And this is the headline. HelloFresh urges customers to prep for Pride Month anal sex. HelloFresh posted a message on Instagram that said, "We know eating isn't always a top priority this month. We respect that. But for those of you who are prepping, we have an extensive lineup of high-fiber recipes available. Happy Pride." After that, someone said, "How about a Pride Month discount code?" And HelloFresh replied, "Use code BOTTOMSUP for a Pride Month discount." Now, I'm not going to go into the mechanics of what all of that is about, but you can use your imagination. It is not good. And now a lot of people are like, okay, that's it. This is a family-friendly company, by the way. Unbelievable. But this is what Pride Month looks like in America. No doubt, many people are now saying they're going to boycott, and I'm glad because I mean they're doubling down on all of this. They've got no problem with this. However, do not be surprised if HelloFresh's bottom line this quarter takes it up the backside. I will say this, that Major League Baseball, you got to give this guy credit. Blake Treinen is his name. He's a relief pitcher for the L.A. Dodgers. And, you know, they all had to come out for their big Pride Night game, and they were making the players all wear the rainbow-colored Pride hats, which is just weird in baseball. Can't we just let baseball be baseball and football be football? Can we not just do that? I mean, let the Pride people handle, I don't know, the yoga and the Pilates and the cheerleaders and the WNBA. But why can't we just leave all the other sports alone? I just don't get that. So anyway, Treinen decided, yeah, I'm not doing that. And the guy's been pretty vocal about his faith. He didn't make a big deal about it. He just walked out onto the field with his regular baseball cap on. And now people are calling the guy a homophobe and a bigot. And we're standing alongside this guy. And there have been a couple of other players, too. But again, this is what a crazy world. You can't just go to a baseball game and enjoy a baseball game. Instead, they're shoving an agenda down your throat. And remember last year, was it last year, year before last, The L.A. Dodgers mocked all of you Catholics with the drag queen nuns. And again, they were kind of butt ugly. Just being real with you folks. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show on this very busy day. Great to have you with us. And again, we're following all sorts of crazy stories. Of course, Iran and Israel are exchanging missiles and drones. That's getting pretty ugly. President Trump is telling Israel to knock it off and to stop. The president trying to get some sort of a peace deal going and a ceasefire. I just don't see that happening. And I know the president's catching a lot of grief right now. Yesterday, the media taking his comments out of context. One of the reporterettes out there said, well, you know, you said there wouldn't be any more wars. Well, no, that's not what the president said. The president said that he was ending the forever war. But I would, again, put all of this into the context to make of it what you will. Regardless, the president did say that this war would be over 5 weeks max. And here we are, what, over 100 days now into whatever this thing is over there that we're involved in. But if Israel is going to keep defying the president, at some point the president is going to have to lay down the law here. And I know Mark Levin's already upset, and he's complaining about the ultimately he's the president of the United States, not the president of Israel. All right, just want to point that out. And I know the president has been is being influenced by a lot of the war hawks out there when it comes to what's happening over in the Middle East. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. A couple of big races in South Carolina, by the way, speaking of Lindsey Graham. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, Congressman Ralph Norman's going to be joining us. He's running for the governor's seat, and he did not get the president's endorsement, which is a bit of a shocker because Ralph Norman is a member of the House Freedom Caucus and is just a good and decent guy. And then you've got over on the Senate side, Lindsey Graham. And I think it's important for us to go back in time and listen to just a smidge of who Lindsey Graham really is.
Welcome, United States Senator Lindsey Graham.
You know how you make America great again? Tell Donald Trump to go to hell.
I get called all these horrible names by Lindsey Graham, who I don't even know. I didn't start it with Lindsey Graham. I couldn't care less about Lindsey Graham.
But when I need some of those liberal votes, he's always there to help me get them.
If you can't admire Joe Biden, you got a problem. What's not to like?
We have open primaries here. That's how Lindsey Graham and a lot of guys in our state house continue to get elected, is because they're being elected by Democrats crossing over. He's not a Republican. He's voting like a Democrat. He received money in 2016 from George Soros, and he's not a rhino. He's a traitor. This is treason.
All right. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, the man who wants to send Lindsey Graham back home in the Republican primary, Mark Lynch, joining us today. Mark, good to have you back with us.
Yes, great to be on again, Todd. Thank you for what y'all do.
Well, of course, tomorrow is a big day in South Carolina. And I got to tell you, I was looking at some of the polling data compiled by the New York Times, and you've got an uphill climb here, Mark. And I'm just wondering, what is it going to take to get you across that finish line tomorrow?
I think it's happening. God's in the background helping this campaign. He has been since from the beginning. And America's watching all of South Carolina, and we've got to answer to that. America's wondering, how has Lindsey Graham remained in office all these years? Well, tomorrow we're going to see. The vote is happening, and I believe this is going to happen, and we're replacing a traitor in the United States Congress that used to represent South Carolina.
You say the word traitor, and that's a pretty hot word there. What makes Lindsey Graham a traitor in your estimation?
Well, his voting record, over these 30 years, his conservative lifetime voting record is 43%. His constitutional voting record is 57% lifetime, thus betraying South Carolina and Americans, and stabs Donald Trump in the back every chance he gets. He voted for all of Obama and Biden's judge picks, Sotomayor and Kagan and Bosa Berg and Judge Herson, that blocks everything Trump tries to do. And the biggest thing is that, he, in the fourth quarter of 25 and the first quarter of 26, he voted to allocate $5.67 billion to illegal aliens in this country, Todd. And if we're going to print money out of thin air, we should give it to our veterans or something, not to illegal aliens.
There is some reporting out there that suggests Lindsey Graham is, in fact, very concerned about you, Mark, and so much so, this is from the downballot.com website. We understand that Lindsey Graham has spent over $10 million. His allies have spent over $10 million to come out against you. What does that tell you, that an incumbent senator is having to use friends to fork over $10 million to try to stop you?
It tells you he knows who is coming at him to remove him, and we're over the target. And South Carolina has an option this time, a viable candidate in me, a true conservative that's going to replace him.
Mark Lynch joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Mark, you've been out there, and I'm wondering what you are hearing. What are voters there in the Palmetto State telling you about this election and what matters most to them?
The voters are telling us that they can read between the lines on all the money he's spending with these crazy lying attack ads, and they see all that, and they say Lindsey's gone to another new low this time. They've never seen Lindsey attack somebody like me, and so that's helping us. God's reversing that on Lindsey, and he's using it for our good and his glory, and people can see it. They're sick of Lindsey.
It really frustrates me when I see people like a Lindsey Graham in the Senate, and the Senate is a mess right now. It's interesting, Mark. I was doing some research over the weekend regarding recess appointments, and the president, a lot of the president's picks are still being held up by the Senate. And the reality is, it's the Republicans doing it. Do you realize Donald Trump is the only president in modern political history who has had zero recess appointments because the Republicans will not recess the U.S. Senate so he can get his people through? What do you make of that?
That tells America that's who we have in Congress, and it's time to get rid of these people and bring back true conservative, God-fearing patriots that will be America first, that will support the Republican agenda.
You mentioned the Republican agenda, and I'm curious, when it comes to the Save America Act, for example, how would you vote on the Save America Act?
I'd vote for it. And we've had that SAVE Act in over 420 days now, and Lindsey hadn't used his power. We talked about this one time before, Todd. I can form a committee with four other senators, and we can bring a motion to vacate John Thune and nuke the filibuster and remove John and get back to business again, running our Congress for the American citizens and get to work.
I know that's one of the things that really sets you apart from this. I mean, Lindsey Graham's a career politician, but you are a businessman, and I'm wondering what sort of mindset you would bring to the Senate if you are successful tomorrow.
Yes, I'll bring truth. Everything that I make a decision on will come through God's word and through the Constitution, and it'll be America first. It won't be to start World War III and spend more money that we don't have and do everything against America. Everybody's tired of it. If I get to the U.S. Senate, I'm employed by Americans. We won't have more needless, endless wars and all the crazy stuff. It's just maddening what we watch on the news every night. And we'll start enforcing our laws and bring justice back where it needs to be.
So this is your chance here, Mark. I mean, you're speaking to a lot of people across the state of South Carolina today, and this is your pitch to them. What do you want to tell these folks when they go and cast their ballot tomorrow?
Well, I'll remind everybody of our polling over a year ago. South Carolinians are ready for a successful businessman. I've run our business and grown it 35 times in 40 years, debt-free. We don't print money. We're debt-free, personally and corporately. I'm an ordained deacon in our church. I've been married to the same wife for 38 years. We have 2 children, 4 grandchildren, and that's who we're doing this for. I don't have to run. I'm asked to run, and I'm answering the call. And people are looking for a leader that will hold the line and not get compromised and take the money and sell out and sell America out. I won't do it. And I won't take a penny from AIPAC. That's a big question we get everywhere we go.
All right, Mark, we're going to leave it there. Again, folks, if you want information on Mark's campaign, lynchforsenate.com. That's lynchforsenate.com. And Mark, it really is simple here. People were demanding change. You stepped up and said, I'm the change. And now it's up to the voters. If they want to send a message to the establishment wing of the party, they get a chance to do that tomorrow.
Yes, sir. And I think they are. It's happening.
All right, Mark, good luck to you out there. Again, the primary tomorrow in South Carolina, everybody. And Mark Lynch challenging Lindsey Graham, the sitting U.S. Senator. We will see how that plays out. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Some of these endorsements that Trump is making are a little puzzling to me, and especially when you look at, for example, the situation in Louisiana. We're going to talk to a great Louisiana talk radio host later this week. John Fleming is clearly the most conservative person running for the U.S. Senate in that primary, but President Trump went out there and endorsed Julia Letlow. The same situation here in South Carolina, where Lindsey Graham, you heard Lindsey Graham tell President Trump to go to the lake of fire, for crying out loud. And so, again, Mark Lynch running for the Senate seat, a businessman. Go check out his platform at lynchforsenate.com. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, this hour of the Todd Stern Show brought to you by our good friends at Newsmax. That's right, Newsmax wants to send you a free special report on Social Security benefits. There are 5 key strategies that they are recommending to increase your benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Now, the new study finds that 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve. So if you would like to get this free report, it doesn't matter if you're getting benefits already or you soon will, I want you to give them a call, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690, and we will text you all of that information right away. Text and data rates may apply. Again, 800-999-9690. All right, I want to play some audio going back to a story, and it really is a bombshell report out of Minnesota. This all coming out today, a House Oversight Committee report just dropping. And folks, the amount of fraud is off the charts. And you do wonder at the end of the day, and you hate to think like this, but what would happen if the American people at large were truly engaged in what was happening? I think that you would see people marching in the streets of every, and I'm talking about conservatives. I'm talking about blue-collar workers who are sick and tired of their money being used for all of this nonsense. I want you to take a listen to cut number 4, please.
Those top officials like the governor, Tim Walz, and the AG, Keith Ellison, they were aware of the fraud as early as 2020, but they still allowed the payments to go out to the fraudsters. And they say because, according to the report, the reason they did, concerns of potential racial discrimination claims. because many of the defendants are from the Somali immigrant community.
So this is woke gone wrong again. You got people that are committing criminal acts, taking money from taxpayers. Many of these people immigrated to the country. Some of them are not even citizens of the country. And they're using it for fraudulent purposes. And the government knew about it. They didn't do anything about it because they are considered a protected class.
And they attacked the whistleblowers.
Right.
And that's part of the report.
Right. So the House Oversight letter to J.D. Vance, this is what they said in that letter. So the committee requests that the White House Task Force to Eliminate Fraud thoroughly review all of Minnesota's social services programs in light of the vulnerabilities created by efforts of state officials who, instead of mitigating fraud, actually sought to cover up or minimize reports and findings of fraud. Specifically, the committee's investigation found that senior officials in Minnesota state government, including Governor Walz and Attorney General Ellison, were aware of widespread fraud and federally funded social service programs for years, possessed the legal and procedural authority to stop the payments and ban fraudulent providers, but repeatedly failed to act. As a result, potentially billions of American taxpayer dollars were paid to fraudulent actors.
Yeah, they reportedly have $9 billion, they said, has been stolen on high-risk Medicaid spending.
Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So the question is, will we eventually get to the bottom of all of this? Are we going to have enough time to get to the bottom of it, which is really where not just the 2026 election comes into play, but also 2028. So the Republicans cannot screw this up. We need at least four more years to undo all of this damage. But I hope you're understanding what's going on right now. Just unbelievable. 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Arnez in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM Radio. Hi, Arnez, what's on your mind today?
Well, for starters, game three tonight. Hoping the Knicks can pull it off.
The Knicks?
Honestly, I have no dog in the fight because I'm a Grizzlies fan. You know, it's like on one hand, I want to see Wemby win its championship because, you know, To win it at 22 is just an incredible accomplishment. But then on the other hand, the Knicks, it's been 50 years since they've been close to this position. So, you know, either way, it's going to be a good game. But I also want to talk about that interview that Trump did with Meet the Press. For one, I don't see how anybody can look at that interview as anything short of embarrassing. Plain and simple. It's like, I understand that as elected official, you're going to be faced with tough questions, but just his manner, his demeanor, his tone, you got pushed back on something and you didn't know how to handle it, so you walked out of the interview.
Is that how you looked at it? Because I saw it differently. First of all, the interview was an hour long. The president normally doesn't give interviews that long. I just saw a reporter who was badgering the president. And he said, "I'm done with this."
That's not badgering. When you said that, you said no new wars. You said no new wars. That's obviously
no. He said no more forever wars. No more forever wars.
He said no new wars. They literally printed out campaign signs of it during the campaign. Like, plain and simple, he reacted the same way most men do when they're caught in a lie. And I don't see how that interview could be shaped as anything other than an absolute embarrassment. I don't see how anybody can look at that and say, oh, he handled it well, or he said, no, you got caught in a lie, she pushed back on it, and you didn't know how to handle it.
All right. Arnez, the computer's going to cut us off. But ladies and gentlemen, you heard Arnez. Do you believe the president was rude? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. So I want to go back to this interview with Kristen Welker for just a moment. Here is another piece of that conversation. Cut number 8, please.
Gas is up. Diesel is up.
It's all coming down as soon as the war's over.
Well, 70% of farmers say they can't afford fertilizer. What's your message?
The farmers are doing very well.
Let me ask you, what is your message to farmers, many who support you, but who say they're struggling? Who say they're struggling.
Because there's nobody been better to farmers. You know, I gave farmers last term $28 billion because China took advantage and other people. And you know who paid for it? China. Last term. You know, I had a great first term. I had the greatest economy ever. And you know what? This one's blowing it away.
What's your message to farmers, though, Mr. President, who say they are struggling, they're struggling to make ends meet?
Are you ready? Are you ready? Am I allowed to talk? You keep asking questions and you don't listen to the answers. I love the farmers, and the farmers love me, and the farmers trust me. In the first term, I had something very similar. China and others were, and Canada, which was brutal. They were taking advantage of our farmers. They don't take advantage of it anymore. I gave them $28 billion split up. They never had a payday like that. And the farmers loved me, and they came back, and they voted for me in record numbers. You know that. Nobody's ever even come close.
All right, so that was the president explaining again that the gas prices will come down if the war ever ends. And so hopefully it shall. Now, I want to go back real quick before we go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say this. The president, and in multiple interviews, said that he was the president who started no new wars. I would contend that the president is actually accurate here. I know people are going to accuse me of parsing words here, but it's true. We've technically been at war with Iran since 1979. So I think that argument could be made. But then the president turned around and said that he never said no new wars. He said that he did not guarantee there would be no wars. I'm not sure that sort of language actually helps move the needle with folks. Folks are getting a little tired and frustrated. And again, the question is, how long is this thing going to go on? And if Israel's going to keep going out there and just launching missiles and not paying attention to what President Trump is saying, then quite frankly, President Trump ought to tell Israel, you guys are on your own here. We're either going to be partners in this or you're on your own. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are expecting Congressman Ralph Norman, who is running for the governor's office in South Carolina. He got called into a meeting on Capitol Hill. However, his running mate for Lieutenant Governor, Adam Morgan, joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Adam, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, good to be with you, and glad I could fill in. Ralph sends his regards.
Well, tomorrow, a big day, and you guys aren't doing well in the polls. What is it going to take to move the needle here for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it really just comes down to turnout. You know, these polls have been all over the place, and one were in second, one were in fourth, one were in third. I mean, just it's really anybody's game. When you look at it, everybody's between, you know, 1 and 2 points of each other, and it all comes down to voter turnout. Who can energize their voters? And I think if people simply look at the records of everyone running, there is a clear choice here. Ralph and myself, we are both in the Freedom Caucus. He's one of the leaders in the Congressional Freedom Caucus. I was chair of the South Carolina Freedom Caucus for 3 years. We showed up and fought on every single issue every single day. We shut down pediatric transgender clinics. We sued and got CRT out of school districts. We cut wasteful spending from the budget. We opposed billion-dollar handouts to private companies, and on and on and on. And, you know, most people running, if you look at it, they've actually supported everything I just said. They either funded in the budget or opposed candidates who have conservatives who fought on those issues. So, you know, I think the informed voters are going to make the difference, and I think they're going to break for conservatives because people cannot keep going down the road. I mean, we got crumbling roads, terrible education outcomes, massive wasteful spending, and South Carolina needs to be governed as a Republican state. It's what we deserve. We're ready for a DeSantis-style governor.
Adam, help me understand the whole endorsement thing. First of all, the president endorsed Pamela Yvette. We've had her on the show a time or two. She was not a member of the House Freedom Caucus in Congress. She, you know, again, your guy, Ralph Norman, checks off all the things on the president's list. What happened there with the endorsement?
Well, you know, President Trump's also endorsed Lindsey Graham here in South Carolina, and that's gotten a lot of pushback from voters. I think, you know, these are people that have worked with the president. Everybody that's running has. Pamela Vett and Henry McMaster had endorsed President Trump early, so I think nobody was really surprised by that endorsement. But as you mentioned, voters care about the record. And, you know, Lindsey Graham is not popular here. Everybody's seen the videos of him getting booed. Pamela Vett gets a very similar reaction for the people that even know who she is. I mean, she's been lieutenant governor for 8 years with no accomplishments during that time. She's made all her money in pushing DEI. That's how literally what she did in the private sector. And in a time in office, she pushed the $1.3 billion handout of taxpayer dollars to a woke company. She's had executive budgets that funded drag queen shows and climate change research. I mean, this year, that stuff was in the budget from their executive budget on almost every issue you can think of. If you look at South Carolina, we regularly let the conservative movement down. Look at what happened with redistricting. I mean, that failed because Governor McMaster said he opposed it, then flipped his, completely changed his opinion. Then he said, I'm not going to push the legislature one way or the other. And then when it failed, he said, oh, that's too bad. Like, that's what you get with establishment. They're people that never fight when it counts. And we've got to have people now more than ever who actually fight for conservative values. I got three little kids under eight. Their futures are on the line. And I do not want South Carolina to become the next Colorado or even Georgia and be trending blue. I want to go the way of Florida. I want to get more conservative. I want strong conservative. I want to deal with the H-1Bs. In the legislature, we shut down the attempt to expand illegal immigrant workplace licensure to bring more illegals and make it easier for them to live in South Carolina. We stopped it. So on almost any issue you can think of, we led the fight on. And that's what I think as voters hear that more and get that story, they realize you have people that claim to support the president, but then work against everything that is our values and want to really change the state of South Carolina. And we're not going to let that happen. We're going to fight for our values, fight for our people, and fight for our state.
Yeah, look, I get it. And I think South Carolina is really, I guess, a bellwether, a great example, really, of what it means to be in a supermajority Republican state, but you're not necessarily conservative. And a lot of that has to do with the people, the kinds of Republicans that are elected. I know we just had Mark Lynch on in the last segment, and he's trying to make a go for it. I mean, the numbers look pretty awful. But I think what's fascinating about that, even though the polling numbers look bad, Lindsey Graham is concerned about Mark Lynch because his allies have spent, what, $10 million to go after Mark Lynch. What do you make of that?
I think it just shows, and once again, polling, you know, all these polls are bought and paid for primarily, and especially in South Carolina. You have groups that literally, if you pay them, they will give you a poll that shows your guy ahead. And nobody, I mean, look at the polls for the last multiple presidential elections. I mean, it's really a joke. And the fact is, the people that are going to show up are the ones who are motivated. And whoever can motivate their voters, that's who's going to win, whether it's in the Senate race or in the gubernatorial race. I think, first of all, it's going to be a whole lot closer in both of these races than any polls are showing. And really, the vast majority of people have not voted yet. So anyone listening right now, whether you're in South Carolina or you're not and you know somebody in South Carolina, you know, South Carolina is a bellwether. It's a state that can lead on all, and has led throughout our history on all sorts of issues. And we've got to get strong governors who will fight for every inch across the supermajority Republican state.
All right.
That's how, I mean, Charlie Kirk went viral for that. He said, we've got to keep the strong state red, red. And so you got to elect fighters. And that's what we're offering.
Well, I will say this. The Trump bump was not very large. I will just say that.
Yeah. You know,
that I think surprised a lot of folks.
Yeah, I think it shocked a lot of people even in South Carolina. But at the same time, then you think about it for 2 seconds, and you're like, you know what, people don't even know who Pamela Vett is because she's done next to nothing. So it really isn't that surprising.
I think
we'll have a strong showing. I think we will get in the runoff. And if conservatives show up and take back their state, we've got a real shot.
All right, Adam Morgan running on the ticket with our good friend Congressman Ralph Norman, and primary day tomorrow in South Carolina. Get out and vote. And folks, again, you got to do your homework, and you got to make sure that you are electing good people, good conservatives to office. Just because they have an R behind their name doesn't necessarily mean they are a conservative. All right, good to hear from you, Adam. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, there you have it. I want to read somebody's bio to you, and this is for you, you folks in Tennessee, but take a listen to this guy's bio. He was born and raised in Tennessee, went to public school, graduated from the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, went to law school at the University of Memphis, was elected as the mayor of Columbia, Tennessee in 2018, the youngest mayor in the city's 200-year history. Now, this is interesting. This guy, are you ready for this, passed 7 balanced budgets with no property tax increases. While doing that, he managed to invest in education and public safety. He also made critical infrastructure investments and saved taxpayers $10.5 million through strong fiscal management. That's pretty impressive. He's married to a woman. She's a public school teacher. They have 3 children. They all attend local public schools. They are also active members of the First United Methodist Church in Columbia, Tennessee, where his father was a 30-year-plus Sunday school teacher. The guy's also an avid runner, marathons, ran in the Mule Day 5K. And the duck, is that the one where they unleash the mules and you got out? No, that's the running of the bulls. My apologies. I think that's in another country. In addition to running, Chaz Mulder, Mayor Mulder, enjoys playing sports, hunting, and spending time outdoors. Oh, there's a photograph. He's got the guns and the camo. Would you be surprised to know that this gentleman is a moderate Democrat? That's what he's running as, a moderate Democrat. But as we all know, in reality, there's no such thing as a moderate Democrat. They're all radical leftists. They're all Abigail Spanbergers. But this guy is running against Andy Ogles for Congress. And he is raising a lot of money. And the Republicans are very concerned here that they could end up losing a congressional seat. But just pay very close attention. I say that Karl Rove is out with his whiteboard, and he's warning that we could lose a couple of seats in Iowa and Ohio. We'll get into some of that a little bit later on in the show. But I think it's interesting, especially in Tennessee, that you've got a Democrat who has sort of figured out the secret sauce. Because if you're reading the guy's bio, you're thinking, oh, wow, no property taxes, and he's balancing the budget and goes to church, and it's like a regular, normal church. Nobody, no drag queens are leading the choir, and he goes hunting, and he's got a wife and kids, and they all look normal. Yeah, I could vote for that guy. That's what people are thinking. I could vote for that guy. I'm just telling you, you cannot trust any Democrat at all. I don't care how conservative they may appear or how moderate they may appear. You can't trust them at all. All of them are like Abigail Spanbergers. Let me tell you what happened yesterday in Memphis. And this is just a word of warning, if I may, for the Republicans who live in Memphis, Tennessee. And a lot of folks are just sort of like coasting. You cannot coast, Republicans, because the Democrats are enraged over the redistricting. Yesterday, they had, I think, about 1,000 people turn out at a large Black Baptist or large Christian church, Black Christian church here in the Memphis area. And it was all the clergy of all the churches, and they are mobilized like it's the 1960s. They are loaded for bear. And the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, of all people, got up in the pulpit, ladies and gentlemen, the pulpit of this church, and made the following pronouncement. And I want you to hear what the mayor is saying here. The mayor says, whoever the Democrat candidate is, that's who we're rolling with. That was delivered from the pulpit of a church in Memphis, Tennessee. And I'm sure the Internal Revenue Service would be very interested to know the kinds of politicking that was going on in that church house yesterday, which, by the way, we checked, happens to be a 501c3. Whoever the Democrat candidate is, that's who we're rolling with. That's what the mayor of Memphis said. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, Dylan, College World Series coming up. West Virginia, I'm not sure Omaha's ready for what is about to descend on Nebraska.
I love the College World Series. It's one of my favorite times of the year, honestly.
You know, it was interesting. I was watching the game over the weekend, and there were more people outside the stadium watching the game than there were inside. And then I guess during the middle of the game, there was some sort of a severe storm, and one of the massive tents just the wind caught it and blew the thing. It's all on video. I think 5 or 6 people got hurt. But they're still. But everybody stayed put. You know, the rain stopped. Everybody came back outside.
Oh yeah, they're not missing that game. No, not at all.
And then they sang "Country Road," and I don't know why. I just get. You know, I'm a Rocky Top guy, and Rocky. When I hear Rocky Top playing, that's just, you know, that's my jam.
You feel something.
I do. You just feel a little stirring in the soul.
Oh,
makes you proud to be an American.
You love Tennessee. You love them too much, honestly.
No, you That's can't love thing. Tennessee too much. You can't love. Well, Ole Miss is advancing. Sorry, Mississippi State got beat by Georgia, but
they got beat tragically by Georgia. Actually, they came back from like a 7-run lead. It was pretty bad. But Ole Miss is they're going to be really good.
Hottie toddy, and but you know what we need to do in the next hour? We've got to get the country roads. It was a unique moment, and it's going to be interesting to see all of these folks. I'm just not sure that Omaha, Nebraska is ready for the entire state of West Virginia to show up, because I think that's exactly what's going to happen. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. By the way, just want to let you know, my new book, it's available to pre-order. Go to toddstearns.com, go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books, and you're going to love it, folks. It's going to be a great read, and we're going to have a great time with you reading this book. The book is in stores August the 11th. We officially got our pub date, as they say, and it'll be in stores. We're going to be doing some nationwide book tours with all of our radio affiliates around the nation. We're excited about that, doing a lot of planning and prep, and it's going to be a fun, and I truly do believe, an impactful book for the country. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Get yourself a pre-ordered copy right now. We'll be right back, everybody. Hour 3 coming up.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 901-260-5926. Is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to go to the phones. A lot of folks have been weighing in today on this interview with between Kristen Welkner from NBC and President Trump. So far, just about everybody says that Trump was rude and should apologize. And I'm curious to know about your thoughts on this. 901-260-5926. I don't think the president has anything to apologize for. Let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve on the line. All right, Steve, what say you?
Hey, Todd. The way I read it, and it made me mad when I heard it come out of her mouth, is what really set him off and made it bad. Basically, she just called him a liar. Because he was trying to explain to her about stolen elections and the election in California. And she started dating, well, you can't prove it. You can't prove it. If you want to get on my wrong side and make the hair on the back of my neck stand up, make me get up in your face, call me a liar.
All right. Steve, we're getting some bad. We have a super bad phone connection, and I apologize. Guys, if we can get that straightened out, that would be good. But to Steve's point, yes, the president of the United States was being called a liar by this woman over and over and over and over again. She would not let up. And so at some point, the president said enough is enough. And I don't blame the man one bit for doing what he did. Not one bit for doing what he did. All right, 901-260-5926. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, former U.S. Congressman Bob McEwen. Bob, hope you're doing well.
Todd, great to be with you always.
Bob, I'm curious to get your thoughts. Of course, you being from Ohio, I know Karl Rove is out there with his whiteboard, and he's saying that one of the congressional seats there in Ohio could be up for grabs. Karl Rove saying that that it could be a very difficult time for Republicans in the midterm elections. Curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, it, as you know, traditionally about 40 seats change hands in the midterm of the White House. And so Bill Clinton lost 52 seats. Barack Obama lost 63. Trump won't lose anything close to that, maybe between 10 and 20. But, of course, he only has a three-vote margin, so if it's more than three, it might as well be 100. But there is a distinct possibility. What's happening is that people are seeing, and I think what you see is happening in California, you see that Democrats will do anything possible. Here is a state that has a population greater than Canada and only five Republican congressmen. And, of course, the rest of the West Coast the same way. Northeast, there's only one U.S. senator from Maine. They're trying to destroy her with a Nazi. But northeast of New York, there's the gerrymandering has been such that they're all Democrats. So what they do is systematically go about doing that, and yet they never say, I'm going to make the city cleaner. I'm going to make it safer. I'm going to make schools better. I'm going to make jobs more prolific. No, all they do is attack and scream and yell, call people names, call them racist and all the other things that they do. They never advocate for what they're going to do to improve. And so where they have a majority, such as Chicago or Philadelphia or these other places where all of the crime is and where all of the destruction is, they think they can make headway. Ohio has turned the corner. It's going to be a challenge to make it all red, but as you mentioned, some of them are competitive, but I think there's real opportunity. The American people see what's happening when we have a president that believes in America, and I think that we're going to have a very low loss or perhaps none at all.
You see, so Bob, here's my take. I'm with you. I think we could possibly in some areas gain some ground, and which would be great. But I think the American people understand what happens if we turn Congress over to the Democrats. That the first thing they're going to do is impeach Donald Trump. And I think the American people care more about Trump than they do Congress. And they want to make sure that the president is, you know, doesn't have to go through that again. And also, I think, quite frankly, the Senate Republicans, they don't deserve to be reelected. But we still got to put them back in power.
Well, you're exactly right, and you stop and think, what is it? Why do they want to be in power? We know why they want to be in power, so they can steal money left and right, as they do by the tens of billions and finance each other. And so the oligarchs all do that, and I think we should talk about that just for a quick second. But then, nevertheless, they advocate nothing. Everybody's running against Donald Trump, not for America, not for more jobs, not for peace in the Middle East, not for lower taxes, not for better schools, not for safer highways. All they want to talk about is, I hate, and they're just the party of hate, and so, it's a frustration.
So, Bob, just to illustrate how unhinged all of these people are. So you've got all these Democrats that are raging right now because President Trump is making D.C. beautiful again. I mean, when I remember when I would come down and I would have to work in D.C., stepping out of Union Station, have to walk across Columbus Circle where that beautiful fountain was, it was like a dystopian world with drug dealers and crack addicts. It was insane. Homeless people all over the place. And Trump cleans it all up, and everybody's all upset about it. There was some video over the weekend showing CNN doing reports at the Washington Mall. And, Bob, I used to do my evening walks down there, and it was so – the stench coming off of that pond was so terrible, I wouldn't even go down there. And now, of course, Trump is cleaning it all up. CNN is all upset, but they were doing reports during the Biden administration complaining about how nasty the place was.
It's difficult for normal Americans to understand. If you put red and blue up on a wall, the entire country looks red. It's only when you get close that you see the blue in San Francisco and Philadelphia and Los Angeles and elsewhere. But those places, what they do, you know, 12, 16 years ago, the safest major city on the planet in the entire world was New York City. And as soon as they elected Blasio, he said immediately that if someone is jumping the turnstile, that is, if the bums want to come and sleep on the subway, we're not going to charge them. And if they want to poop on the sidewalk, we're not going to charge them. And, of course, you know, throughout California, as long as you only steal off of the shelves less than $1,000 at a time, as long as it's $9.99 or lower, then we're not even going to charge you. And so what happens to those places? They just deteriorate the beautiful, beautiful California. The first time I ever encountered homelessness was in 1976 around a major government facility in New Delhi, India. And I just walked around. I saw these people living under these tents on the street, no electricity, no plumbing. I thought, this is abject, total poverty. This is terrible. I've never seen anything in my life. And yet now, as soon as a Democrat takes control of a city, they pride themselves on the hundreds of thousands of these people that we bring into this country and throw them on the street and then dump needles and drugs. I couldn't be a good Democrat because they don't advocate. You can tell where they control the school districts, because the schools, where they're the worst, you know they're in control. So what we hope is that the American people will be sure and vote. Now, this is essential. They have to show up. If they show up next, then this country can take off. Your book is so appropriate. Let me just mention quickly that the European Union, all 32 countries, 27 countries, the total foreign investment of where they think the hope of the investment would be around the world is about $100 billion a year into the European Union. And thus far, a year and a half of the United States, $1 trillion a month has come into America, $18 trillion from around the world, because they know that this is the place with proper leadership. This is where they want to be. So America has the potential of greatness, or if we don't show up, these people will steal you blind, as we've seen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we saw that the reporting earlier today coming out of Minnesota, Tim Walz and Keith Ellison knowing about the massive fraud, a bombshell 200-page report that coming from the House Oversight Committee. Brooke Rollins, USDA, saying we found 200,000 dead people getting food stamps and 500,000 people getting more than one benefit in the red states. Meanwhile, they don't know what's going on in the blue states because the blue states aren't releasing any of their information. Then look at what's happening in California, Bob, where the Justice Department has been asking California for a year, a solid year, to examine, to audit their voter rolls. And they will not allow the government to step
no.
in. What do you make no. of that? Why do you think they're not letting them in?
It doesn't take much inquisitive spirit to find out why that is. As you know what's happening, you see where they're stealing it now in Los Angeles and the rest of the state. As the way that works is that you can bring in extra ballots. They say they have to be postmarked by election day. By however, get this, Todd. You can write the date on there. It doesn't need to be the postmark of the post office. You can postmark it and bring in as many as you want up to several days after. So they're going to take as many of those as they can. Plus, the ID, it is against the law in California. There's a prohibition against being able to ask a person, are you an American? And so if you come in with any kind of paper that you picked off the street, whether it be an insurance bill or whatever you have, and of course, driver's license, then you're allowed to vote. And if you get behind, then, of course, they have another week or so to guarantee it. And so we've seen the most beautiful state of the union absolutely fall into chaos and filth. And it's they're last 50th in so many things. They were always first in education. Now they're dead last. It's so sad to watch. I just wouldn't make a good Democrat, I'm afraid.
No, I you and me both. Bob McHugh and everybody on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Bob, we always appreciate your wise words and great political analysis. Spot on, as always. We will check back in with you very soon, my friend.
Thank you, Todd.
All right.
I love your program.
Thank you very much, Bob. Appreciate that. The great Bob McHugh and everybody. So, good man right there. Got some words from some kind words over the weekend. My cardiologist has had me grounded for a little while, but I've had to cancel a good number of engagements, and I was supposed to be in two different places over the weekend, New York City for the Talkers Convention, and then at the National Association of Christian Lawmakers gathering at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And was not able to get to either one of those, but wow, so nice to hear so many kind words from folks, and thank you for that. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Real quick, I think we've reestablished contact with Steve. Hopefully that signal is better. And Steve, you were talking about the Welkner interview, and you don't think Trump needs to apologize.
No, I don't, because I think what set President Trump off, because it set me off, is she just basically called the man a liar. He was trying to explain to her about our election issues, and she started that, prove it, you can't prove it. I know me personally, that will set me off quicker than calling me stupid or ugly or anything else, is call me a liar.
Yeah.
And we'll be nose to nose.
Look, I'm with you on that, and that's exactly what she did. And she called him a liar over and over and over again.
What's going on with these elections? I'm going to compare it to, well, how would you feel, Todd, if you went down, you got your bank statement at the end of the month, and about half your money's gone out of your bank?
I'd be raising you know what.
Hey, you went down to the bank, said, what's going on here? My money's gone. And they said, prove it. Where'd it go? Prove it. I don't know. Prove it. How are you going to prove it? And then you go try to get to court and get something done about it, and you can't get a judge to even take the case. The Trump administration, if I remember right, there was over 60 lawsuits filed against that 2020 election, and not a one of them made it into court.
Well, it's,
I mean, let him show the evidence.
Yeah. So look, we're working in real time here, and the situation in California has to be addressed. That's the big issue. Congress, there is a way for Congress to do that. And by the way, Congress did it in 2018 when the Democrats were in charge and they refused to seat a Republican congressman from North Carolina. And they're going to the Republicans, they need to do what the Democrats have done. That's all there is to it. And we've got to convince these Republicans to do the right thing. All right, Steve, I got to run. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Wow. We're going to play some audio for you in just a moment. It's insane. By the way, Stephen A. Smith is surprised. He's got Congressman Kevin Kiley on. Kiley he's over in the Sacramento area, used to be a Republican, got redistricted by Gavin Newsom, and now he's an independent. And he's actually leading the pack there in his district, even though he's been screwed. So Stephen A. Smith is stunned to find out that California actually bans voter ID requirements. You can't make this stuff up. This is why what's happening in California is like it's worse than a third world country. All right, you folks in Massachusetts, in the 6th congressional district, you've got somebody running. And I'm trying to figure this one out as best I can. We're going to work through this together, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we do on this program. We work out our problems. And this is sort of like one of those word problems involving a congressional candidate who goes by the name of Beth. But Beth has a goatee. So I'm not sure if Beth is really Beth or if Beth might be something else. But Beth is putting out a video, a new campaign ad, introducing herself himself, itself? Dylan, I mean, you've seen the video.
Yeah, I'm very puzzled.
All right, so can we listen to Beth?
We can listen.
All right, this is Beth. Take a listen.
My name is Beth, and I'm running for Congress in the Massachusetts 6th Congressional District. After Trump was elected, my representative, Seth Moulton, tried to throw trans kids under the bus for his political career. And that's why I stepped up to challenge him. Trans people aren't political props, and slapping a rainbow on a bomb isn't support. Congress needs to take real action.
All right, so that's Beth. It sounds like a woman.
If you close your eyes and you listen to that audio,
that's a woman.
You would picture maybe like a blonde.
So I'm closing my eyes and I'm hearing Beth, the blonde, and then I open my eyes and I'm like, geez, salute Lady Bic, quick! Because she's got like a beard.
Beard, brown hair, glass, looks like plays computer games for a living.
Very mannish.
Very mannish.
Very mannish. She is apparently an agender transsexual queer and proudly Unitarian Universalist.
That makes my head hurt.
I'm not sure what that means. Agender means no gender, but then she's transgender, which means you got to be some gender. You just change your gender, then you're queer. I kind of figured she might be pansexual. I'm just saying.
Attracted to pans?
Yeah. Kitchenware. Yeah.
A good pot.
Cornyware. Yes. The Dutch ovens, especially, from what I hear. All right. Wow. Hello Fresh. 901-260-5926. Man, this Pride Month is just weird this year. Weird. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, Newsmax contributor, Mary Walter. Mary, hope you're doing good.
Well, it's Monday, so, you know, Mondays only get so good, but I'm okay. How about you?
You know, I'm a little puzzled here by a couple of things. I know we got a lot of topics to talk about. But
I'll help your puzzler.
Hello Fresh.
Yeah.
I get it. Everybody's, you know, jumping on the whole Pride bandwagon and, you know, but it just seems to me that there's got to be a better way to do it than how Hello Fresh did it.
So I have a different take on this. I'll tell you why. I had the same reaction you did. Like, really, really, people? And not that I order anything to be delivered to my home anyway. I'm a big fan of, that's why I got married, so I send my husband out to get stuff. So I've never used them. So I've no dog in the fight here. But I follow on X, and ask me what her name is, I have no idea. But she is lesbian, and she's got her girlfriend, but she's really against the whole trans thing, and she's against Pride and all this other stuff, because she likes to call herself a normal lesbian. And the two of them went into this thing about HelloFresh, and they were laughing hysterically. And they said, most people aren't getting what HelloFresh is doing here. And to them, they thought it was a total, kind of like a backhanded smirk at the whole Pride thing, what HelloFresh did.
Oh, you think so? Because in the follow-ups, when they're, you know, they're conversing with Grindr,
yeah. And,
you know, that to me, like, wait a second. So if I'm with you. At first, I'm like, maybe they were just really concerned people weren't getting enough Metamucil in their diets. But but then when I saw, you know, the responses, and I guess they were giving what, bottoms up? Was that that's the discount code?
Well, see, and this is why, so I'm super confused on this too, because the comments that they sent back is like they're supporting Pride. But like I said, these two women, and again, I'm really not that into this whole thing. We're saying that no, Pride is totally, that, I mean, HelloFresh is totally poking Pride here.
Wow. Well,
so I don't know. I don't know what it is, but
They're poking something.
From the outside looking in, it doesn't look good for HelloFresh, and I think they're going to get Bud Lighted.
Yeah, it's. I'm with you. I think this is Bud Light 2.0, and unless I'll bet you a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Dylan Mulvaney's got like a lifetime subscription now to HelloFresh.
Are you kidding? Dylan Mulvaney doesn't eat. That guy needs a sandwich.
Give the guy some ribs. Call Tallarico.
Exactly.
So, Mary, big doings. I know you're like a Jersey girl, but it's like a huge night tonight in New York City. You got game 3 of the NBA Finals. And there was a lot of talk about, President Trump's going to be there. And a lot of people are saying, well, he really doesn't need to be there. He's going to ruin the vibe. What say you as a Jersey girl?
Okay. Well, the only reason I even care about this game is 3 out of the 5 starting lineup are Villanovans. And, I am a proud Villanova girl. I am a Wildcat through and through. I bleed blue and white. So threw my boys there, and they would have had Dante DiVincenzo, but they traded him. When they originally had 4, it was really my team, but when they traded Dante, which they never should have done, but that's a different story. So they only have 3. And it's so funny. My husband's like, I know nothing about sports until you start to talk to me about Villanova basketball, and then I can spout. I can sound like I should be sitting at a bar with the boys. So here's the thing. I don't care. If Trump wants to go to the game, let him go to the game. He's a New Yorker. I don't care. Like, I'm sorry it's inconvenient for you. Oh, well, if you weren't trying to kill him at every turn, maybe this wouldn't be so inconvenient for you. So that part I don't care about, but God forbid they lose tonight and Trump's there. He's going to be seen as the curse, like Mamdani and the Mets.
Oh, speaking of Mamdani, have you heard about this? So he's getting roasted because he says that he purchased a standing room only ticket directly from Madison Square Garden. And he said he only paid $1,000. However, according to the ticket folks, the lowest available tickets are between $4,500 and $5,000.
Yes.
I don't believe the guy. Yes. I think he's lying.
And according to the New York Post, tickets to tonight's game was a minimum $7,000.
That's insane. Upwards of $8,500. And Trump, I love Trump's reaction, though, because, if you can't afford it, you can watch it at home.
Well, you know what? It's probably better. It's probably better to watch
exactly.
it at home. You have to deal with the crazies. That's the way I am. It's like New York. It's like Times Square on New Year's Eve. I'll watch it at home. In my jammies, where I don't have to stand there with a diaper on for, 18 hours. So that's much better. So, but anyway, if you got it and that's how you want to spend your money, God bless you, go, right? I think, so now, if they do lose, do they blame Mamdani or do they blame Trump? And we all know the answer to that.
Well, that is a fair assessment of how this will all go down. No doubt about
right.
that. Oh, by the way, the gals on The View just compared Trump to Satan. So, just a FYI there. So.
Well, to be fair, they can't compare him to a Nazi anymore. So there's that.
Mary, we're going to play a game with you called Guess That Gender.
Okay.
We're going to play some audio here, and is someone named Beth. Dylan, let's play the audio.
My name is Beth, and I'm running for Congress in the Massachusetts 6th Congressional District. After Trump was elected, my representative, Seth Moulton, tried to throw trans kids under the bus for his political career. And that's why I stepped up to challenge him. Trans people aren't political props, and slapping a rainbow on a bomb isn't support. Congress needs to take real action.
So Beth has a beard, a goatee, and dresses very mannish, and identifies as an agender, transgender, queer, proud Unitarian Universalist.
Yeah, you know what? There's way too much in that. I just think if you need that many words to describe who you are and or your belief or whatever happens to be running around in your pants, I just think that you got issues at that point. Like, it's not that hard.
It's not that hard. You got to self-edit.
Watching that video, people should try to find that video because watching that video is mind-blowing. Because that facially looks like a dude.
Yeah.
Now, body habitus just looks like, a roly-poly dude, just like a squishy, soft dude. But watching that video, it's like, Coney Island bearded lady back in the 1800s. There you go, right there.
That's it. That's a great example of it. So we'll post it up on the website, folks. You can see for yourself. But good luck
to you.
It's nuts. It's absolutely insane. is what it is. By the way, I want to play this if we can. This is from on the theme of Pride Month. This is a speaker at the Pride flag raising in St. Louis, Missouri. Cut number 11, please.
Good morning. My name is Robert. I use he, him pronouns. I'm the Director of Communications for Promo. This morning's gathering is a celebration of joy, love, and the freedom we deserve to be ourselves. However, Pride is more than that. It's a reminder that every right we have today was fought for by people who refused to be silent. Our ancestors organized, showed up, and put their bodies, safety, and their very futures on the lines. Queer and trans people have been at the center of that story, particularly Black trans women. They carried this movement when the world ignored them, and also when visibility became extraordinarily risky. The rights, the protections, and freedoms we've won thus far, like marriage equality, were fought for by our queer and trans siblings. They carried the brick with all of us. But now it's our turn. It's our turn to stand and fight for our queer and trans family. Our community was built over decades by people just like us in this room today. And that power has never failed us. It's why those who seek to erase us will never understand that we aren't done fighting. Not even close. So as we start Pride Month today, I ask every single person, ally and LGBTQ+ alike, to stand together. From St. Louis to Cape Girardeau, from Columbia to West Plains, to Springfield.
All right.
Let us dance, love, build community, and fight hand in hand. Because when we do, we're protecting the rights of all LGBTQ+ Missourians. When we pick up the brick for each other,
all right, that's it. That's it. Stop right there. So, Mary, they're all about joy and love, and then pick up the brick and beat the living hell out of me. I don't know what they want us to pick up the brick for.
I blacked out by then. So, I don't know if I heard that part about it.
Gotta work on the speak.
I just found myself getting dumber as it went along. It's like watching The View. By the end of it, you're definitely dumber than when you started. Stupider than when you started out. The virtue signaling in the beginning, my crown is, when do we stop talking like this? Like, didn't we get over this as a people? Aren't we past this? Didn't we stop with the pronouns? And honestly, I kind of like the pronoun verification because then I know who to just not engage in conversation. You know, so it's a time saver for me in some ways when they parade it, you know, when they go he, her, she, him, it, these, her, whatever the heck they got going on. And I'm like, okay, avoiding you. In conversation, but yes, but they're so unhinged because it's scary. The mental illness comes in many forms, but it always winds up in the same place, which is if you don't agree with me, I have the right to hurt you.
Well, you know, it's interesting. A couple of days ago, this has been a major story across Tennessee where they're saying Tennessee is the most dangerous place for LGBT people in the entire nation. And, of course, you know, being here in Tennessee, we're like, wait, what? I had no idea. So you actually do some we did some research over the weekend. And by the way, they're talking about in 2026. It is the most dangerous time. Well, it turns out there are no actual reports. And in 2026 is still – we're in the middle of 2026. But the most recent official government FBI data comes from 2024 – when there were exactly 24 reported hate crime bias cases against LGBT people, the alphabet activist in Tennessee. So as horrible as that is to have 24, that does not make Tennessee the most dangerous place for gay people in America.
No. And do we know what the outcome of those complaints were? Just because there were complaints doesn't mean that there was actually a case or any kind of action.
Exactly. And then there was a story. I was watching this on social media. To your point, though, there was like a big march and they were talking about all the, you know, how it's such a violent time for transgender people. And they had all these people that were no longer with us that are trans. And an overwhelming number of them took their own lives or were killed by a trans partner. So, again, context matters here. And I think that's missing in all of this so-called Pride Month stuff.
Well, context only matters when you're interested in the facts. If you're interested in pushing an agenda, then we hide context, because context sometimes is inconvenient when you're trying to push an agenda, isn't it?
Well said there. Mary Walter, by the way, tomorrow, I love Tuesdays on Newsmax. Mary Walter, Kay Smythe Hill, you never know what's going to happen during that segment.
And it's Tuesdays with Todd.
Tuesdays with Todd. That's it. I almost said, you know, I've got to be careful. I was going to make a HelloFresh joke, and I almost said Hello Kitty. So, but Hello Kitty is okay. Hello Kitty is normal.
But yeah, Todd, it's so you, because Hello Kitty's a cartoon. So you, where everybody else is talking about HelloFresh, and you're like, do you mean Hello Kitty?
Oh my God, Mary, you're not going to believe what Hello Kitty's doing. Get out of the letterbox.
Jeez,
hello. Oh, jeez, hello. All right, Mary Walter, always great hanging with you. We'll see you tomorrow on TV.
I'll see you tomorrow, my
All
friend.
All right,
have
take
a good
care.
Night.
All right, you
Bye.
Too. Mary Walter, everybody. Yeah, Beth could be a dude, but I think Beth is a gal. That's what I'm going with, Dylan. It's kind of like the SNL character, Pat. You just never know.
Exactly, yeah.
A little ambiguous.
Spot on.
All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back. This is the Todd Stern Radio Show. Great. Well, thank you for joining us today as we go through the big stories of the day. Also following through on Carmelo Anthony on trial in Texas, and we're going to have a pretty extensive conversation about that on tomorrow's show. I want you to listen to some reporting from the really awful, awful testimony. Clearly, this Anthony guy is a very bad dude. Cut number two.
Inside the courtroom, jurors heard more emotional testimony about what happened the day Austin Metcalf was killed, yesterday. Metcalf's track coach, Rob Starr, took the stand, and he said, each school's team tent is considered its own space at a track meet. It's a big deal for athletes from other schools to go into another team's tent, like a locker room. Today, one of Metcalf's teammates testifying, several people told Carmelo Anthony, you probably shouldn't be here. You need to leave our tent. Anthony was told to leave around 15 times. He says no one tried to gang up on Anthony, telling the jury they originally tried calmly to ask him to leave. He described the situation as, quote, minor pushing at most. But from there, things escalated. The teammates say Anthony and Metcalf were both angry. And that's when he says Anthony told Metcalf, with his hands in his backpack, touch me and find out. That teammate testified that Metcalf pushed Anthony and then Anthony stabbed him. He says he then heard Metcalf say, oh my God. Another teammate also took the stand. And when asked whether it looked like Metcalf was trying to pick a fight, he said, no. When asked about the same situation, if Anthony was trying to pick a fight, he said, yes. When asked if what he saw looked like self-defense, he answered, no, sir. Jurors today also hearing from the officer who arrested Anthony. Frisco School Resource Officer Eduardo Cortez testified he radioed other officers telling them he had the alleged suspect in custody. That's when, according to Cortez, Anthony volunteered a statement telling him, I'm not alleged. I did it. He put his hands on me. I told him not to. Cortez said he never asked Anthony what happened, but testified that Anthony continued speaking, at one point saying, is he going to be okay? Referring to Metcalf. The officer said Anthony was emotional at times, especially when he said, he put his hands on me. Jurors also watched body cam footage from the moments after the stabbing. The video showed multiple people worked to save Metcalf's life. Students could be heard crying out, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Austin's twin brother shouting, that's my best friend, my brother. It's heartbreaking stuff, and it brought the courtroom to tears.
That's just a terrible situation there. And, I mean, all indications are the guy is guilty as sin. I mean, that's the question is, will he be getting the death penalty or life in prison? But who knows? I mean, it's strange times in America, over in Philadelphia, a white guy killed by a black dude. He refused to turn over his cell phone, and the two black kids shot and killed the guy. Then you've got a situation in South Carolina where a beautiful husband and wife, grandparents, she played the piano at the local Country Baptist Church, and black guy storms into their house and kills both of them. I mean, there is an epidemic in this country, and the fact of the matter is the Carmelo Anthony story is really just the tip of the iceberg. And the videos, which apparently people, the videos are just awful, awful, awful. But we'll talk more about this on tomorrow's program. All right, we've got to scoot out of here, folks. Hey, ToddStearns.com, you got to go read my analysis on what's happening in California right now. Just absolutely unbelievable. All right, get out there, everybody. Have a great day. We're back on the radio tomorrow, noon o'clock. This is the Todd Stern Show.